Help me welcome our speaker tonight. We have Ashley from the Amazing Grace Home Group in Levittown.
Hi, my name is Ashley Natalini, and I am an alcoholic.
Hi.
My sobriety date is June 25th of 2007. I got sober when I was 19 years old. I'll tell you a little bit of what it was like, what brought me here, and how I'm still sober today. I was just like a typical, like, girl, like typical family. Nothing horrible happened to me. Nothing bad happened to me. I grew up with like loving parents, you know, thank God. And then I found alcohol when I was about 13, and I only started drinking because everybody else was doing it. Like, it's just, we kind of started drinking at that age. And I loved it. I loved it. I loved the way that it made me feel. I loved the way it made me black out. I loved how courageous it made me and like in free at parties. And it was a lot of fun at first. And I would be going to school, and eventually my drinking progressed where I would be drinking every weekend. And then I'd be drinking after school. And then I'd be either leaving school to go drink or bringing a water bottle with vodka in, and by 10 a.m. I'm like hammered, and luckily lived right across the street from the school, and I would just walk home. I didn't realize what alcohol was doing for me. It was giving me like really a sigh of relief. The way I always explain it is it gave me a feeling of I don't care, because I cared about everything so much, and I didn't realize how stressful that was until I started to drink, and like, huh, finally, I don't care. And then I continued to drink. I continued to drink for fun, and then it wasn't fun anymore. Alcohol led me to other substances, which just brought me down even faster. By my senior year, I went to a rehab. I was 17. I was almost 18. I was 17. And my mom woke me up and said, you know, we found this and that in your car. And I was like, oh my God, they know, like, they found all of this, but all I was looking for was the alcohol that I hid the night before. Like, I know I hid it somewhere. I don't know where I hid it. And please don't tell me that's what she found. I was more worried about her that she found the alcohol that I needed in that moment. She didn't. And, you know, for a few days, my parents kind of left me in limbo. My dad, like, took something out of my car. They told me my car was broken. What do I know? So I couldn't really go anywhere. And in those like 3-4 days, I had gotten some family stop by, and I got money for my birthday because it was coming up. And I'm at the house of my friend, and at this point I'm withdrawing. Like, I don't feel good. I feel terrible. I feel like anxious physically. Like, forget about it. I'm a mess. And my friend's like, come on, let's go. Let's go get alcohol. I was like, I can't. Like, I can't. My parents know I cannot go get drunk. They're like, you have all this money. Come on. We can go. And I was like, I can't. I can't. Everybody's like, I'm saying I can't as I'm like getting my mom's car. Like, can I rent the car? I want to go here, there. It started to get to where my mom counted the miles on the car. And she was like, well, according to the mileage, you went a lot further. but I went and got alcohol anyway. And as soon as I took that first drink, I got that sigh of relief. Like, I was just like, I didn't care about any consequences. I didn't care about anything anymore. And what I did in that moment that I only learned about once I got sober is I was drinking against my own will, because if I really meant it, like, I didn't want to drink. Like, I love my mom. Like, crushing her to death with all of this was horrible. And I really, really didn't want to drink, but I really, really, really didn't know how not to go drink. My mom said to me like 2 days later, you know, get honest about what you're doing or you are going away. I said, nope, I'm ready to go away. Like, find me a place. I want to go. I'll tell you everything I'm doing. I don't care. Like, you know, I want to go away. And I went to like a detox rehab in Princeton. It's at the time I was still 17. It was like, a little bit before my birthday. I was still 17, and I went in there to to become a normal person. I went in there to learn how to drink like my other friends and fit in with them. And I just got to like lay down all this other stuff that's messing me up. And I went in there like mind you, I'm 17. I'm like not going to drink till I'm going to be 21. I'm going to drink. I'm going to not drink for the rest of my life. That's insane to me. I did what I had to do there so I could get out of there. I got out the day before my 18th birthday, and I stayed sober for 3 months and 90 days. And what better way to celebrate than to get drunk? Like, finally, I can drink normally again. And I started to drink, and that only led me to my other things even faster. And, you know, within 6 months, I'm right back to where I started. I literally feel like I was on the verge of, like, dying. And I was out of high school. I could not walk in my senior graduation because I wouldn't go to classes. And, you know, a year out of high school, I'm working at a daycare. I am totally out of my mind when I'm working there. I am leaving, and they're like, you know, you only have a half hour for lunch, right? Like, not an hour or not. And I just was a mess all over the place. But I thought that as long as I tried to keep it just to alcohol and just limit it to who I was hanging out with because I knew who could drink normally, that it would be okay, but it wasn't. And in that time period of when I got out of rehab in high school, my dad's in AA now, 33, so he's in there like 37 years, I think, now he's sober. He would like encourage me to go to meetings, and I couldn't stand it. Like, to me, AA was just like him. Like, it's for older guys. I don't belong there. I'm literally a child. And just to appease him, I would go to different AA meetings. And one AA meeting I went to, my guidance counselor in high school was in the program. And once I got out of rehab, he really, really, really tried to help me. He said, why don't you come to this meeting that we have? It's at our, you know, I was at my high school at nighttime in the auditorium. And I was like, all right. So one night I went just to appease my dad. And this guy runs the meeting, the whole thing. He's up sharing about the big book. Like, I have no idea what they're talking about. I don't read big books, let alone, I don't read big books, let alone, I don't read small books, let alone big books. And I have no idea what he's yelling about because he was very aggressive. And he was most importantly in that meeting, he was talking about hitting bottom. And, you know, he was like, what's your bottom? You know, crashing my car. What's your bottom? This is my house. This is my kids. DUIs, going to jail, whatever. He said, those are just all circumstances of your disease. We all have the same bottom in the sense we're willing to cry out for help and do anything to overcome this drinking problem. And we're really just reach that hopeless bottom. We all have the same thing. And that stuck with me because I never felt like I would fit in AA. Like, why would I ever even try to come here? It's not the place for me, but there was younger people in that meeting, and he was talking a language that, like, really, that hit me hard. I did not stay sober. I went back out drinking again. But one day, driving around listening to music and waiting to go get drunk, and I literally just feel like I just was like, oh, I passed the high school. I was like, oh, all those people are outside. That's that AA meeting. I was like, oh, let me go see my guidance counselor. See if he's there. Haven't seen him in a year. Let me go say hi. And I literally just turned my car around real quick and went there. And I was, you know, a guy approached my car. Can I help you? And I was like, is so-and-so here? He's like, he's not, but, you know, can I help you? I was like, I honestly just, like, I don't even know what to do anymore. I can't stop drinking. And that's not why I pulled in that parking lot. And he said, I have a girl here that, you know, you could talk to. And within 5 minutes, I was calling my friend saying, I can't go drink because I'm going to a diner with a girl from AA. I never took a drink again. She showed me, she shared with me her story. I shared with her my concerns. At this point, I'm only 19. I went to drink on my 21st birthday. I was really hung up on that. And, she's like, well, you're only 19, so can we worry about that later, like when you're 21? I'm like, okay. And she gave me like a little big book, And I took it to work the next day, and I worked at a daycare, and during nap time, I started reading it. And because I'm a people pleaser, and I want to impress people. So I started reading it, and I got, like, you know, somewhere into the book, I'm like, I'm probably going, like, my fourth step by now. She's going to be so impressed with me. And I tell her that night, because we're meeting, she's, that's great, that you read it, it's great. We're going to start from the beginning. And I was like, oh, man. And thank God we did, because I didn't understand anything I read. Because when my eyes, whatever the word, allergy, that's all I did. Allergy, move on. I just moved on to the next sentence. Phenomenon of craving, moved on to the next sentence. I didn't know what any of this stuff meant and how it applied to me and my alcoholism. When I did sit down and do that first step with her, it actually got me more excited to go through with the rest of the steps because everything started to make sense. I had no idea that my friends, like my good friends that I grew up with that are normal, they don't have what I have. Alcohol doesn't affect them the way it affects me. It affects me differently inside, and it's like comparing apples to oranges. My mother is not an alcoholic. She can have a drink and like go to bed. I don't understand why someone would do that. I just, once I have a drink, I need more. Like I need more. No matter my intentions, when I'm sober, I'm only gonna have this, I'm only gonna have that, I'm only gonna do it on this day. It doesn't matter because I have this craving in my brain that once I put it into my body, an allergy is kicked off and it is affecting me differently than non-alcoholic people. And it made so much sense to me. And that's like right in the beginning, step one. It made so much sense to me because I've been trying to drink like my friends like for a long time. And I just couldn't understand why I couldn't do it. And it made a lot of sense. So therefore, I was excited to see what else, you know, these steps had to offer. I learned that I had a craving that will just take me to a drink, and I really can't control it. I was in AA for a few weeks. I was at work, and I got a fever. I was sick, and I was waiting for someone to come relieve me. And I felt my body hurt so bad, and I thought to myself, if I just had just a little bit right now, like I wouldn't feel anything. And then because I had sat down with my sponsor and talked about the big book and broke it down, I remember her saying, we get this strange mental blank spot. We get this thought that can turn into a craving that could turn in to me drinking again. I was like, oh my God, this could be a craving beyond my mental control. I have to do something. And I literally, I swear to God, hit my knees. I was in the room alone with all these kids. They were sleeping. And I prayed to God. I don't know what I said. I pretty much always have just talked to God like he's my buddy next to me. And then God didn't say, I didn't get a feeling of like, that thought is removed, there you go. But 2 minutes later, a kid woke up and he was crying and he wanted water. And I'm not saying God woke that kid up for me, but I'm saying like, he definitely placed me in a position to be helpful and stop thinking about myself in that moment. And I went home and, you know, that was that. I was just sleep deprived. I always believed my whole life that there was a higher power, but how it was gonna help me stop drinking sounded ridiculous. It sounded ridiculous. But my sponsor said, are you willing to try? I'm like, you really, really willing to try this stuff and just see what happens? And I was willing because I couldn't understand why I kept drinking, even though I didn't want to. So, you know, going through these steps with my sponsor, I did my third step with her. I learned a lot. I said the third step prayer with her, and I didn't have like an aha moment, like praying or anything like that. And mind you, like, I just want to tell you that I was still like hurting a little bit. Like, I didn't go to detox this time or rehab. Like, I just stayed with my parents, secretly detoxed, and I still went to work and everything, you know. I wasn't as bad as I was before, but anyway, I was still hurting. So I didn't rush through the steps, but I definitely didn't take my time. So I was still withdrawing just a little. We went through my third step. The next day I went to a 7 a.m. Meeting. And then afterwards, I'm just so uncomfortable. Like, so uncomfortable in my own skin. It was a weekend. I kept calling my sponsor, She wouldn't pick up. She was like famous for not picking up. And then I was like, all right, I'm gonna go to a meeting. So I went to a meeting at a clubhouse near around our way, and I go in, bunch of older men. They say, I'm crying. And they're like, can you read? I'm like, they clearly see I'm upset. I cannot believe they asked me to read. So I read, and then they said, later on to the meeting, keep your comments to alcohol and alcohol only. And I said, this is not the place for me. And I got up and I left. And I drove around, called my sponsor, she didn't pick up. And you see, I have a disease of the mind. Like, my mind is out to just control me and, like, take me down. when I get these thoughts in my head today, these thoughts come out differently, but they still need to be handled the same way. Is I got a thought, I just need to go see somebody that, like, I know. Like, somebody I feel comfortable with. I miss my friends. Like, I'm young. I miss my friends. So why don't I go, you know, see my friend Mike? And I call him, tell him I'm coming over. This is somebody who drinks all the time, has all the alcohol that I could want, and is very generous. And I went to his house, and I was going back and forth. I'm not going to do nothing. I hate being alone. I can't be alone right now. And then he offers me alcohol, and I just stop for a second, and I swear, in that split second, my sponsor called me back at the same time. I've been calling her all day. Like, she called me back at the same time he brought it out, and I was like, I answered the phone. I have no idea what we talked about. I can't remember. But I hung up the phone, and I went home, and I didn't take a drink. And riding to Mike's house, I had stopped at a stoplight, and I was bawling my eyes out, and I just cried out to God, like, God, I do not want to drink. I have no idea how I'm going to continue to feel like this today, but I don't want to drink. Like, just help. And I was pretty much just begging for help. And I left his house and didn't drink. And I went home, cried myself to sleep a little bit, took a nap, woke up. And I remember exactly where I was standing in my bedroom out of my parents' house. When it just, like, hit me, like, you're going to get sober. Like, I can't really explain the feeling other than, like, I was absolutely convinced. And I've been in that situation so many times, never would I pick up the phone, never would I think about getting the alcohol back, never would I choose suffering over relief. And I just couldn't believe it. It got me more excited to continue on. And with each step, I got more and more excited. It says it doesn't matter however limited your conception of God is. And it's true, because my conception of God still continues to grow today. My relationship with God still continues to grow today. And with every step, I've begun to get a little more understanding, a little more experience, a little bit closer to my higher power. And, you know, once I did my fifth step, I really started to see things totally differently. I started to see things from a different perspective. And that's what alcohol did for me. Like, it changed my perspective of everything that was going on. And I finally was able to sit down with the sponsor and see the truth of everything that I've been doing, see what's really running my life, and it made so much sense. And I continued on, and I learned in that fifth step a lot about my character defects. And I went to another fellowship when I was going through the steps, just out of curiosity. I went to another fellowship, and thank gosh, I was, you know, already went through step 6 and 7 in AA. And I was talking to the speaker on the break, and he's talking about the steps. He's like, I'm waiting for my character defects to be removed to move on. I can't wait. And I thought to myself, I don't think that's how it works. I am going to have my character defects all the time. Like, I'm a human being. I am gonna get angry. I'm gonna get resentful. I'm gonna get jealous. I'm gonna get selfish. I'm gonna be really selfish. I'm gonna get really lazy. I'm a human being. And the same way that I turned to God in that moment of the daycare for help not to go get drunk is the same way I turn to Him for help when I'm angry, for help when I'm jealous, for help with all of it. Because when I try not to be the opposite of my character defects, I truly fail utterly. I can maybe do it for a little bit, but the real alcoholic me will always come out. I am driven by total self and how things are going to affect me. How that's going to affect me. How my daughter's going to affect me. How is this schedule going to affect me? How are my stepson going to affect me? And then control, and a little more control. Like, I just need to control everyone around me so everything can be to how I want it to be. So I can feel comfortable. I need everyone to do what I say so I can feel comfortable. And that ruins my life. That ruins my life. I did not get sober to be miserable. And I saw that in my dad a lot. And I didn't get sober for that. And when I got sober and I met my first bump in the road, whatever it was, my sponsor said, you know, you're just rejoining society. Like, you're going to have the same problems as everybody else. Now you just have to work harder and, you know, use a new solution. So it's like, I thought I was on that pink cloud, whatever people want to call it. And I was the real growth comes when it's hard and you have to use God. And so I'm sober for a little bit. I meet my now husband. We were dating and I moved to, typical AA relationship. It was 3 months and I got rid of my apartment. I quit my job that I've been at for 4 years and, moved down with him, and my AA felt off. You know, when I started sponsoring people, that's when I really, really started to get a better understanding of the steps. A real, true feeling of freedom. And I soon lost that. When I started not to work this program. I don't know how far I was through the steps, but I remember I was driving around on my lunch break, and I thought to myself, it was the first time ever, I think I just was ever present. I wasn't upset about anything. I wasn't playing events in the past or planning out a future or, you know, critiquing something in my head. I was just in that car with my windows down, and I was just so content. And I've never experienced that sober. And that's what I continued to experience year after year until I met him. No, I'm just kidding. We moved in together, so it quickly turned into, do you want to go to a meeting? No, I don't want to go. Okay, I won't go. Do you want to go to a meeting? No, I don't want to go. Okay, I won't go. You know, you're in a new relationship, and, you know, I got lazy, and I didn't have a sponsor down there. Real quick, I want to back up. I was through the steps. I was sober for about a year, and I spoke in my home group, and my sponsor shared the meeting. And after the meeting, my friend called me over. A mutual friend called me over to his house because she wanted to talk to me. I'm like, okay. She said, I want what you have so bad that I can't go on lying anymore. Like, I've been abusing this, that, or the other thing. And I wanted to tell you here with these people here in case you doubted the program, because I just don't want you to doubt this because I messed up. And I was obviously upset, but I was like, there's nothing you or anybody else could do to make me doubt this program. Because at this point, I've had my own experiences. I am not saying sober off someone's really good story or an old amends or, you know, some prayer. Like, I had my own aha God moments. I've had my own growth. I've made my own amends. Did the work for myself and had my own experience. So, unfortunately, that happened to her, but no way would that convince me to that this doesn't work. And so we get married and we end up moving back to Levittown, where I'm from. And mind you, I had now 3 stepsons, and I was 22. And my husband, we were dating. My husband finally goes, "You know, I have 3 kids, right?" because it's kind of crazy because I'm so young. And I'm like, I love kids. Yeah, it's so great. I like a daycare. Wow, it's different. It's way different than working at a daycare, being a stepmom. So that came with its own challenges. Like, I'm quickly a mom. I'm supposed to be a mom, a stepmom of three kids who were 2.5 and twin 1.5 year olds. So they were babies. And I had to navigate the jealousy, the insecurity for years of that, you know. Think of all the things that could happen when you marry somebody who's already had kids. And I had to learn to really let go of, like, my need to control, because I can't control these kids. And I would try to control the schedule, like, all right, well, they have soccer at this time, and da-da-da-da-da. But I would always try to arrange the schedule, in my head at least, to, like, what works for me and what makes me comfortable. And I don't want him there for too long, and... Well, you know, I'll go with him then, and then I, you know, it's just there were so many busy things going on. I had a daughter in August 1st of 2012. It was my husband's fourth child, but it was my first, so I was a crazy first time, so obsessive mother. In the hospital, I'm not kidding you, like, if a psychiatrist was there, he would have medicated me for sure. I would literally, like, check her breathing, check her breathing, check her breathing, check her breathing. Like, I was so scared. And I was scared of everything. I was scared of just messing up, you know, hurting her, something happening to her. My friend came over and to visit the baby, and she had perfume on, and she left, and I looked at Chris, and I'm like, she needs the bathroom right now. Like, she has perfume all over. Like, I was just freaking out over everything. And living in that state drove me crazy. And I wasn't going to AA. I didn't go to AA throughout my pregnancy. I was pregnant, like, in the summer, and it was hot, and I always had an excuse. I was always busy. I was always tired. So I didn't stay connected throughout my pregnancy. And then I had a baby, and I was really, really crazy. And one night, I just looked at my husband. I don't know what I said to him, but I just had, like, silent tears rolling down my face. He's like, you need to go to sleep. And, you know, it got to a point where she wasn't very old, like 3 months maybe. And Chris and I were not, we're bumping heads constantly. And he said, I never know what I'm going to get when I walk into a room with you in it. And I said, you know what? Something just hit me. It was like, neither do I. I have no idea how I'm going to feel from this moment to the next. And I'm really going crazy. I dropped my daughter off at my mother's house that night, and I went to a meeting, and I got a new sponsor, and I started to go through the steps again. I had some really great experiences with her. And she really just taught me a lot. I really just wanted to be sponsored, if that makes sense. Like, I never really had a real sponsor since my first sponsor. And that was a long time ago at that point. I really wanted to be sponsored. So there was one night I called her, texted her late at night, like, can you talk? And I was all upset about something. And I never really do that. I never call late at night or whatever. She's like, oh, of course, yes. She's like, what's wrong? You know? And it's so late. Are you okay? And I tell her my problem. She goes, oh, I was scared. I thought there was really something wrong. And I'm just like, oh, my God. It's true, though. Like, being sponsored, she helped me see reality, because I have a disease of the mind. I lie to myself pretty much on a daily basis. I get caught up in delusions and things that are not true. The drink was my solution to quiet all that. And not only is it the drink can do that for me, I found other things in sobriety that can do that for me. Like shopping. Really like it. Eating. Or not eating, or obsessively working out, pretty much anything obsessively. And lost what I was thinking about, but so I had a really great experience going through the steps again with her, and I really tried to just be more a part of AA. I got another home group, And I kept that home group for quite some time. And I was of service. I was sponsoring girls. And I really don't know why. But I stopped doing these things. Even though I know it makes me happy, even though I know it brings me peace, even though I know I need it to save my life, at some point, I always stop doing these things. I get lazy, I get selfish, I get busy. This is my own opinion, period. I think the only reason I'm still sober today, because I really still try to live the principles in my everyday life. Like, A, it was so important to me, I was just selfish and lazy, but I really did try to live by the principles as best I could. And then I got to another point where I can honestly say in my sobriety, I never, since the first time I walked away from that, when I was sick, I never thought about using a drink again. I was free from that obsession very early on. And I kept that freedom for a very long time. I can honestly say I had not obsessed about using like that up until 2 years ago, maybe a little bit more. I just stopped doing this stuff, guys. I don't know why. I just don't know why. And then I'm back in the same boat. And I have no emotional sobriety. I have no peace of mind. I'm so exhausted. I can't even realize how exhausted I am mentally from trying to think things so much. I would, try to parent, and it's so hard. It's so much harder than I thought it was going to be. And I tried to be a wife, and I tried to be a stepmother, and I tried to build a relationship with their mother, laying down resentments and jealousies, this, that, and whatnot. I tried doing these things. And I was able to until I stopped. Until I, slowly cut back, missing this home group, missing that home group, haven't talked to any new girls, haven't talked to my sponsor, and eventually I'm going to say, Ma, I'm not sponsored again. And I just go through these periods, and I think I'm okay. I don't even realize it. My daughter has some mental health issues. She's 9, and I'm a stay-at-home mom. And from very early on, she, love her to death, she was just difficult. She has a temper, right? What baby doesn't have a temper if they don't get their way? What toddler doesn't have a temper if they don't get their own way? And then it doesn't become so age appropriate anymore, and I need to get her some help. And I'm home with her every day. So I was just untreated, living with the guilt of I'm messing up so bad that it was just crippling. I couldn't take it anymore. I was so overwhelmed. And I didn't know what to do. I was so mad at her. And I was so lost. And I tried everything. And it's just nothing was helping us. And my friend, and my daughter was in a public school. And she had friends. And one of the moms, mind you, people in my life are all in AA. So I'm meeting these moms, and they're normal people. And this mom said, got her a shower in the bed, so I'm having a glass of wine. And I was like, that is so messed up. I'm so jealous right now. I can't even believe how jealous I am. It was the first time where I'm really pissed off that I'm an alcoholic. That's not fair. That's not fair. You get to go home and you get to have a glass of wine. You get to wind down your night, and I am going to bed crying myself to sleep. And I didn't obsess over it, but I'm telling you, I was really jealous for a while, when I thought about it. And I was like, this is not okay. This is not okay. I cannot stay here. And again, I got back into AA. I got back into AA. I got into therapy, continued to help my daughter's therapy. But I know that if I'm not connected to this program, anything else in my life is a mess. It's a mess. I cannot be patient, tolerant, and kind to my daughter if I am full of resentment and fear. And the only way I know how to get rid of resentment and fear is through a fifth step, with God's help and my sponsor's help. That's the only way I know how to do it. That's the only thing that's ever worked for me. I can't take living there. I cannot take living there. I know if I live in resentments, fear, from harming people, consciously or unconsciously, if I continue to do that, I know 100% I will drink again. It might not be right away. I think I've proven at this point it's not right away. I mean, I've stayed away from AA for quite some time, unfortunately, but it could take 10 years. But in that 10 years, I'm going to be miserable, and I'm going to hurt a lot of people, and I'm going to be really tired from just my mind driving me crazy. I learned early on that my drink is my solution, and now AA has to be my solution. So when I started to feel that jealousy towards that mom, I got back into AA, and not that I feel like I ever fully left, but, and she didn't know I was in the program when she said that, but it was definitely scary. I had to really, really, really dig and find a totally, different reliance upon God. 'Cause I needed him to survive again, but it had nothing to do with drinking. It had everything to do with my thinking and how I treat people. Because when my daughter was mean, I matched her meanness some days. And I felt like crap. I just can't be the person she needs me to be if I'm not trying to practice this stuff, if I'm not relying on God. So my stepsons get older. they're a lot of fun. I went through a lot of moments of, like I said, jealousy, anger, and resentment to them, to be honest with you. Not that that's correct in any way, shape, or form. And I realized how important it was once I was sponsored by my second sponsor, how important it is to be sponsored. You know, I have all this time and I can sponsor people, but I'm not being sponsored. So she sponsored me for a few years, and then I just could never continue that relationship. It was just very, she was very hard to contact. So I was sponsorless again. And I had another baby. I had a son. He's now 3 years old. So we all know how it went the first time. The second time I was a little bit better. I was a little more laid back. I knew what to expect. And I mostly, when I was pregnant, I really knew what to expect. Nothing to do with him, to do with me. I couldn't live in that state of craziness. I went to AA when I was pregnant with him. I talked to people in AA. I was terrified of becoming who I was after I had my first daughter. Because now it's going to get really hard, I hear. So we had my stepsons every other weekend and, obviously my daughter and my son all the time. And it was so much easier this time. I really, really, really relied on God. I was doing a lot of reading in, my late pregnancy. Which I don't even like to read, but I was just yearning to be closer so I can be safer. I started to go to Al-Anon as well, and that was, I loved Al-Anon. And today my life consists of, I am free from that obsession. I do struggle with resentment, fear, anger, selfishness, all those fun things that an alcoholic does. And I do experience those things, but I run to my sponsor now. I run to God. I run really, really fast because I have been here and I've lived in those resentments and those stories in my head for so long. I refuse to do it anymore. I refuse. I can't do it anymore. I give up. This is the answer. I gotta do it. gaze closed. And I always feel so much better doing what I'm supposed to do in those moments, relying on God, going to a meeting, helping out, you know, other women. But like I said, I was sponsorless again, and I was looking for all of these older women with all this time and all this wisdom to be my sponsor, but like I was just like not having any luck. And then the pandemic hit, and I was super isolated, and sometimes I used to think going to meetings was a drag, but like I literally couldn't wait to get back to meetings after a while. Like, I felt so isolated and just a need for connection, especially with my home group and, like, at the women's meeting. The pandemic showed me, like, how truly important the fellowship is. The Zooms just didn't really do it for me. but, you know, I can't say post-pandemic, but now we're out and about. And, you know, I'm talking to a friend of mine who I met when I first got sober. She always intimidated me when I first got sober. She's just out there. Like, oh, I never really even talked to her, really just in a crowd all the time. It was Shay. And, we were talking just back and forth on Facebook or whatever, and then I texted her, you know, got any time, like, got any space for any sponsee? Because I was like, she's in the same area of life as me. Like, she's a mother, she's, you know, it just felt like right. Like, felt like it worked. And, I started working with Shay just, like, 3 months ago. Maybe not even. And I've already felt such a huge change. I am accountable every day. I really feel terrible if I don't send her my 10 steps. I do it on an app, so we fall asleep. I really want to do these things. We're sitting down with the book, and we're going through it, and we're starting reading it page by page. And it's so exciting, guys. Like, I am so ready for a new experience in AA in my life with God. If there's anything I've learned thus far is my old experiences, miracles, and feelings do nothing for me today. Nothing. They just don't. It's a great story to tell. I hope someone can relate. I hope I kept your attention. I hope I gave you some hope. But they do nothing for me today. I need to continuously move my feet every day. And I loved, Shay told me, like, you know, where are you doing the steps in your day? My own. When I actually think about it, I'm not. I wasn't saying the third step prayer. I wasn't saying the seventh step prayer. I sure as heck wasn't meditating. Well, I meditated sometimes, like a guided meditation. And I thought I was, like, living the principles, but I really wasn't. And, again, like, I just really am reminded all over again how important it is to be sponsored, to be held accountable, and to constantly look for a new experience. Like, my end of the story tonight shouldn't sound like my end of the story last year. Like, I hope to keep growing every year and learning something new. It has nothing to do with time. When I talked to Shay, she told me how much time she had. It was less time than me, and I was like, I don't care. Like, I don't care. Like, what you're talking about sounds very appealing, and I want a new experience. I'm reconnecting from people that I got sober with that I haven't seen in a long time from Philadelphia. And, we're all like in the same boat, and it feels really like nice to just connect with them again and to see like we're not so unique. You know, we're not the only ones who have so much time sober but are not happy. You know, we're not the only ones that are struggling to go to meetings, struggling with a 10 step, struggling to just be a nice person. Like, these are like real things that happen. And, it doesn't matter how much time you have. It's like every day I have to be doing something to not struggle from alcoholism, to get rid of my selfishness, to put others first. When I can do that, I get rewarded unbelievably. I get rewarded in being able to let go of a resentment. Like, I'll just have, like, God aha moments. I was praying for this resentment to be relieved. for years. And things kept stacking up on top of this resentment. So it got stronger and stronger and stronger. And I was literally on the phone with Chris yelling to him. This was like 2 months ago. I'm praying. I don't know what he wants me to do. I'm praying. I am helping other people. I just called a sponsee. I am talking to my sponsor about it. I am just take it. Like, why hasn't he taken it already? Just take it through them, and I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. And I just had like a light bulb go off in my head, and it can be the most simplest thing for people. And I could tell you, and you're like, okay, that doesn't sound profound, but to me it was profound. And Chris was talking to me on the phone, and I was like, I don't have to give this resentment to God. I have to give her to God. I give God her. I have to stop trying to control the outcome of everything. I have to stop reacting to what other people do to me. I made a decision to turn my will and my life over the care of God and not play God anymore. And every time I'm resentful, it's because I'm playing God. It's because you're really not doing what you're supposed to do. And I want to make sure that you do it, and I want to be the executioner when you don't. So to me, it was just like, I have to give the whole situation, the past, the present, the future, just take her. I don't want her no more. I'm good. I'm checking out. And just like I said, it could mean nothing to you guys, but just clicked for me, and it's helped me immensely. So God comes to us in all different ways. Luckily, he comes when I yell a lot. There's been times in my sobriety where I've been on the, my bedroom floor on my knees, like crying in pain from something and not knowing what to do and just wanting my head to turn off, like just wanting my head to turn off. Now I don't want to drink. I just want it to turn off. I can't feel this pain anymore. I can't take it. But I still, every time I picked up a phone, I called my sponsor, I called my best friend who's in AA. Every time, like, thank God I have ran back to this program thus far. It has never failed me, ever. And every time I come back, it is the same thing. Nothing has changed. Same steps to take. But I think, like, every time I come back and as time passes, the deeper you need to go, the more, yes, it's all the same. Nothing has changed. But, like, what are you doing to continue growing closer to your higher power? What are you doing on a daily basis to grow, to help others? It's not just about coming and doing the same old thing over and over again. If I'm not, like, I feel really good when I'm working towards a better relationship with God. And the closer I am to my higher power, the further I'm away from a drink, the further I'm away from my crazy thinking brain. Like, I have a disease of the mind. I was on the elliptical the other day, and my head was spinning out so fast of just, like, the future. Like, I was upset about something, and just, like, the future. And then, what if this happens? What if that happens? And, like, my mind's going faster than the elliptical. I was like, I'm done. I'm calling my sponsor. I'm done. I gotta go. I can't be here anymore. And that's what AA is. It's a way of life. It's a design for living. Yes, it relieved me from my obsession of alcohol. That is my solution. And AA is my new solution, everything I learned in it, every person that I met in AA. Today, I'm married 10 years. I have my daughter who, with God's help, hopefully is still alive. I rely on God in that relationship. I have to. I want to be the mom she needs. And guys, to be the mom she needs requires a lot of patience and a lot of love. And I do. I love her to death. I have my son who, I can't believe I was upset when they said it was a boy, but thank God I had a son. And my stepsons are 14 and twin 13-year-olds now. I really learned how to be a wife at AA. I learned how to be a sister, made amends to my brother, my younger brother. It had nothing I said there really changed anything, but everything I did after that amends gave us a beautiful relationship today. It taught me how to be a friend, to be a sponsor, to show up for people when I was working. It taught me how to be a reliable employee. And I literally, when I started changing the little things in my life, like not lying when I was late for work, not being late for work, I worked at a daycare, so when lunch was over and you have 22-year-olds, it's a mess. And I hated sweeping, and I would always leave prior to AA. I would always be like, I have to go to the bathroom. And I didn't want to do it. I would like peace out for a little bit. And then after I did my fifth step, I realized that's the selfish behaviors that I have to stop. You think they don't matter, but they do. And when I started focusing on each and every decision that I made, the motives behind these decisions, boy, was I rewarded leaps and bounds. Every promise that I read in that book, I was granted at one point or another. And, today I truly have never been more grateful for the program. I'm not just saying that. I'm grateful for it and appreciative for it because it's been really hard at times. And it's been there for me over and over and over again. And I am so happy that I have this design for living when normal people, whatever, might not get to experience this. I have great relationships. My best friend, we call each other sisters. My best friend, I started sponsoring her when I had a year sober. I knocked on her door of her sober house and started taking her through the steps. And, that's when I had a year. And we lived with each other. We became literally like best friend soulmates. I was like, stop calling me your sponsor. I'm not your sponsor anymore. I can't be your sponsor. So it really gave me just beautiful relationships. That's it. If you're struggling, you're in the right place. I just always want to wrap up with like, there's hope. Like, it might seem like, how is this stuff going to work for me? It doesn't make sense. But I promise you that if you do it honestly and thoroughly, that it will work for you. And I hope that when I see you guys a year, 2 years from now, whenever it may be, I hope that the end of my story is different again. I hope that I have more to share with you. That's all I have.